Well, I'd like to say a little bit of radio magic is happening on the central coast of New South Wales, but I have actually no idea what's going on. I'd like to think that my very good friend Paddy Gerard and the amazing Rob Palmer were creating radio magic right now, but I'm not qualified to say that. So all I can
we're not.
I tell you what,
hang on. Just hold up for a second, you two. Rob Palmer and Paddy Gerard have, since I think 5:30 this morning, have decided to broadcast for 27 and a half hours, and it's for a really good cause. And you want to know what the cause is, folks? They just thought it'd be a good idea.
That does sound dumb.
I'd like to think that they were raising money for starving people in Ethiopia. I'd like to think that they were curing cancer. I'd like to think that they were, between the two of them, ending the war in Ukraine.
Yeah. Getting potholes fixed around Australia.
Getting potholes fixed.
No!
None of those.
Solving the ice lettuce dramas.
Yes. Now, it's now eggs, Lukey. There's no bloody eggs in the supermarket.
Coming to the rescue of bee farmers everywhere.
No!
No! Ladies and gentlemen, around Australia on the Triple M network, Rob Palmer and Paddy on 107.7 Triple M Central Coast, just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And you can hear how delirious they are.
Oh, my God. Yes, no, yes, that is correct.
They are broadcasting for 27 and a half hours. They started this morning, and here we are on the east coast of Australia. It is 21 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock, and they're still going, hello, boys.
Good morning, Luke.
G'day, Luke. I tell you what, we're somewhere into hour 17 or 18, and I've stopped counting. Paddy's been reminding me hour by hour where we're at. I've told him to shut up.
I need to ask you, do you have anyone from management overseeing this? Is Speedy on the premises?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, what happened? Someone said to us, why did you guys agree to it? Because what happened, we went in one day, and Speedy's our boss. He's an absolute great boss. He runs Triple M Central Coast.
Stop, calm down, mate. I have beers with you, and that's not what you were saying.
Oh, shut your mouth. Don't say what. But anyway, we asked for Speedy for a couple of days off, and he said yes. And then at the same time, he said, boys, listen, while you got those couple of days off, would you be able to, got us at a vulnerable moment, would you do 27 hours live? And we, of course,
in a state of euphoria, we just said, sure thing.
And here we are, Lukey. Oh, mate, it's been a slog, Luke. Holy jeez.
Yeah, well, can I just say this to you? I've been doing this radio caper for a little while now, Rob. Paddy's been doing it for a while. I've been doing it longer than Paddy. But, Rob, can I just say this? It's all about preparation. Now, I want to know.
Okay.
There's an old saying, fail to prepare, prepare to fail, okay?
Yes,
can I just ask you this, Rob Palmer, who has come to radio from television, very successful television career, I might add. Radio is a little bit different to TV, correct?
Oh, completely. Absolutely. There's nothing contrived about radio that I can tell at this point.
There's no makeup. Because,
no, there's no makeup. It doesn't take 5 days to do a 10-minute segment.
The people are better.
Oh, well, most of them. We have a great time. And I think the thing is that you sort of fly by the seat of the pants quite a lot of the time. There's a bit of preparation because perfect preparation does prevent piss poor performance. But at the end of the day, there's just a joviality that I have with Paddy Gerard. And I think we're two mates with a similar mindset, but complete opposite behavioural traits.
Okay. Now, listen, you've got until when this morning, 6 o'clock?
No, nine.
No, 9 o'clock.
No, yeah. Nine. Oh, mate. So, Lukey, I know you have one of the longest shifts in radio. You do from midnight right through till 5:30. And I go, 5:22:05. No one's counting. But, mate, seriously, we're going through till nine. And
Paddy's
really
eyes
tired.
Look like piss holes in the snow right now.
Okay. So are you just winging it? Or have you got some hot topics? I want to know what you...
Oh, yes! You know what? We spoke, and I don't know what you guys are doing because... And, Lukey, I'm glad you called because so many people say, where's Luke Boner? Everywhere we're going because you gave us the blessing to do your show. We're looking at this morning, Sydney Roosters coach Trent Robinson. He's labelled Victor Radley's crude hand gesture, you know, the beef jerky.
We're doing this later in the man cave. Yes, he said, should cameras be in the change rooms? We're going to talk about this.
Yeah, and like most have called this morning and said, said no. And we had Lukey call, and he said, and we were talking about it. He said, no, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, he said something about why don't we just have a delay on the cameras, right? And they can, if they see something they don't like, they can delete it. But the thing is, I think that there's already a delay on some of these cameras, and you have a person in a box that is looking at five different camera feeds because it's not the only camera in the building, the one that's in the change rooms.
Okay, I'll tell you what, they've had cameras in the change rooms since State of Origin started, just about 1980. And that's why there are sponsors on the lockers and there's sponsorships everywhere in the change rooms because it's part of the TV deal. Let me just tell you this. So if you're a grown-up, you're told this is part of the deal. When you want to earn a living playing rugby league, expect cameras, not in the showers when you're having a shower, but for the post-game celebrations and for the post-game interviews, there will be cameras in the change rooms. Grow up!
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Be responsible. Trent Robinson is just looking after his people. What happened, folks? During at the end of State of Origin, there were two young players and there was a hand gesture. One of the
feeding the chooks sort of thing.
Exactly. And exactly.
Yeah.
No wonder there's no eggs. And so Trent Robinson is saying they shouldn't have cameras in the change room. Nah, you tell the players to behave and you tell them to grow up.
But do you think, Lukey, like you know yourself, like in the OB van outside, you've got all these cameras, they've got so many cameras they're looking at and they can vision switch between one or the other. Do you, like, honestly, if you saw that, if you were the vision switcher, would you have gone camera one? What do you reckon?
Yeah, probably caught him by surprise. I remember when the Australian cricket team were about to sing their song in the middle of the pitch. Mm. And I was watching it live, and Nathan Lyon was leading the singing at this particular, as he does. And they had the boom microphone over them. And I said to Nikki, they shouldn't be doing this on the field. She said, why? I said, surely they'll cut away. She said, why? You watch this. And under the southern sky, I stand a sprig of wattle in my hand, a native of my native land, Australia, you thing beauty.
Yeah.
It's a Henry Lawson poem. And they, instead of saying you bloody beauty, they say you effing beauty.
Right.
And I thought, while the song was going, they're going to cut away now. They're going to cut away now. And they didn't. Now, that's the producer's. If that producer didn't know that was about to happen, there's something wrong with them because that's the Australian song.
Yeah.
So, and that's another thing altogether. But if you're going to have cameras in the change room where they've always been, it's simple. You tell your players, behave.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Look, I don't think there's a huge problem with that hand gesture in particular for anyone over the age of 15 because everyone's doing it. So, you know.
But not to someone else, I hope.
But it's when, I think that's called a Dutch rudder.
I went to Catholic boarding school.
I don't know where that came from. But if for the little kids, because it's such a popular sport, for little kids, you can't have them. Stop it. Can you two?
He started it. Luke Bonas started it.
I got one for you before I let you go.
What do you got, buddy?
There was a young lady. We were talking about the changing of the discrimination laws in Queensland.
Yeah.
And I think we've all seen it where you're lining up to go into a nightclub and for some reason the bouncer won't let you in.
Right.
And they don't actually have to tell you. It might be your clothes, your shoes. It could be because you have tattoos.
Yeah.
And they want to change the discrimination laws. Well, there's a young girl, she's a Papua New Guinean, and she has facial tattoos, and she believes that she wasn't allowed into a nightclub because of them. Now, is that discrimination, or are clubs and pubs and restaurants allowed to have their standards? Can you not let someone in because they're not wearing a jacket or a tie or shoes, and can you relate that to tattoos? Are you allowed to not let someone in just because you don't like the look of them?
Well, I don't think you're allowed to tell them it's because of A, B, or C, but I don't think that if you're not allowed in and you don't know why you're not allowed in, I think there's a law that you don't have to let someone in. You own an establishment and you go, okay, that person's not coming in, and you don't actually have to say
a reason. Okay, now I got a phone call from a doorman, a bouncer, when we talked about this a couple of months ago, and he said he was told by his owner manager, "Do not let such and such race in."
Joking me?
No. This was in Sydney. Do not let such a particular race into my club. So he didn't, and he didn't have to give a reason. He just said, sorry, you're not coming in. And that was the end of it. Now, that's discrimination.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, I think so.
But if you don't have to give a reason, how do you police it?
Yeah.
True. I went to a pub once, and the bouncer at the door, as I was walking to the door, looked me up and down, and then looked me up and down again and went, nah, mate, sorry. And I'd had two beers with my mates before we'd gone out, and we were there at the pub, and I thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, he didn't have any clothes on.
He said, you're not coming in.
Straight from the nudist colony.
He thought he'd kicked me out of somewhere earlier on that month, that
joking?
Week. But he hadn't, because he'd just been watching Better Homes and Gardens.
And Lukey, do you find, mate, and I know you've spoken about it a few times, and we've looked at it here on the Central Coast about tattoos, and we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, and we're finding discrimination against tattoos is becoming less. You know, have you been discriminated in jobs? And like, if someone's got a sleeve or a couple of sleeves, who gives a rat?
Well, we've softened to tattoos. Once upon a time, back in my day, we used to call them scary pictures, and people with scary pictures may have belonged to outlaw bikie gangs or whatever. Everyone's got them now. No one cares anymore.
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't give a rat's. Really.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think Virgin Atlantic were one of the first airlines, I think, not that long ago to say that they're going to allow visible tattoos, not face and neck at the moment, but for their hosties and such to have exposed tattoos. Why not?
I remember my dad was a partner in an advertising agency back in the 70s, and the principal, the director, was going to sack a young worker. He was a creative copywriter. And he was going to sack him because he had an earring. This is 1978. And to me, it's not that long ago. But I remember he was going to sack this really talented, clever bloke who now works for a big agency. And he was going to sack him because of an earring. So we've come.
Oh, you're joking me.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
We have come a long way. Listen, I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, mate. Luke, it's been so nice to talk to you because people who've called us, you've got your Luke Boner fix. And Lukey gave us blessing to do, this is on the Central Coast only, to do his talk back show for an hour. Lukey, we thank you, mate, for taking time out.
It's a pleasure, mate. Love you guys.
You too.
You're mad. I can't believe you're doing it for just fun.
Oh, Luke, you are like a Barocca to the soul, mate. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know what? Can I say, I'm on power pollen, right?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, here we go.
This is my first nature beer. Go on.
Yeah, I'm on power pollen. Sweet. Yeah. No problem. With that Swift Grow, I tried to use it and nothing's worked downstairs. Okay.
You're not supposed to use it on your body, Paddy.
This is where you let yourself down.
Right.
This is where you let yourself down. You eat the power pollen, you put Swift Grow in the garden, not the other way around.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you, Luke Boner. What an absolute champion. And there he goes in the night shift. He's such a nice bloke. Continuing the calls now, because we've got another 10 minutes. Dan Simpson.
There they go. And they're doing it for fun. Unbelievable.